I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, April 20th. The city of Quincy is teaming up with the Neponset River Watershed Association to celebrate Earth Day this Thursday. The Watershed Association's president, Patrick Hogan, will be giving a public presentation over Zoom at noontime to talk about the importance of stormwater management, water pollution prevention, and information about ongoing water quality improvement projects in Quincy. Quincy for Transformative Change will be hosting an in-person Earth Day event on Thursday at Brody Beach off Palmer Street in Germantown. From 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., there will be a beach cleanup, bring your own picnic lunch, arts and crafts, and some informational tables. Participants are asked to wear masks and observe social distancing. Parking will be available at the Snug Harbor School. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch hopes to hear from the City of Boston soon about his request to return the 3,000 volumes owned by President John Adams that are at the Boston Public Library. Koch wants to turn the Adams Academy building in Quincy Center into a presidential library as the city prepares to take the academy and two adjacent vacant buildings by eminent domain for $9 million. Authorities have identified the two men who died after a violent car crash in Pembroke early last Friday morning. Pembroke residents are mourning after two lifelong friends died in that crash. Officers responding to several 911 calls reporting a crash on Elm Street found the driver, 23-year-old William Hickey of Pembroke, outside of an SUV, and the passenger, 23-year-old Joseph Birolini of Hanson, trapped inside. Both died later at South Shore Hospital. Speed and inclement weather may have been factors, but the investigation is ongoing. Family friends said Berlini and Hickey had been best friends since kindergarten, playing hockey throughout school before graduating in 2016. Crews recovered the body of a man who jumped into Hull Bay while fleeing from police last Thursday. Officers responding to reports of a man misusing a family vehicle found that man near Kadish Avenue and M Street Thursday night. The man ran into the water, then went deeper into the bay when officers approached him. After dive teams searched the area over the next several days, police found the body of 41-year-old Jeffrey Lilja off of Hall on Sunday afternoon. An early morning fire that tore through two buildings in New Bedford yesterday caused two deaths and displaced about 40 people. Flames began in one mixed-use building on Acushnet Avenue after midnight, spread to a second building before firefighters got them under control. Fire department says the identities of the deceased will not be released until the next of kin are notified. The businesses in the buildings, including New Bedford Food Market, were destroyed by the fire, and a retail store was a total loss. Mayor John Mitchell said the city, the Red Cross, and the Salvation Army are assisting those that were displaced. 2 million people are now fully vaccinated in Massachusetts, according to Governor Charlie Baker. Yesterday, all Massachusetts residents 16 and older became eligible to receive the COVID vaccine. State Department of Public Health reporting an additional 1,236 confirmed COVID-19 cases yesterday, brings the statewide total to just over 632,000 since the start of the pandemic. State health officials also confirmed 18 more COVID-19-related deaths. The state total now is 17,135. So far, about 5.9 million doses of vaccine have been shipped to Massachusetts. Almost 87% have been administered. An estimated 34,675 cases are active across the state. Well, in support of National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day this coming Saturday, South Shore Hospital, part of South Shore Health in Weymouth, has teamed up with several local agencies, including the Weymouth and Norwell Police Departments, to provide safe, convenient, and responsible means of disposing of unwanted or expired medications. Throughout the year and open to the public all the time, South Shore Hospital has a medication drop box inside the hospital's south entrance, just adjacent to the emergency department. Medicines can be dropped into the box anonymously. Additionally, both the Weymouth and Norwell Police, along with Quincy Police, have permanent medication drop boxes in the lobby of their police stations and encourage residents and those from other towns to take advantage of the prescription drop-off program. Revenue from Massachusetts' three casinos reached its highest level last month since the start of the pandemic, according to state gambling regulators, a sign that the industry may be recovering. Encore Boston Harbor, MGM Springfield, and Plain Ridge Park Casino brought in a total of $84 million in gross gambling revenue last month, more than any month since February of 2020, according to the Mass Gaming Commission. That resulted in almost $24 million in tax revenue for the state. The casinos were shut down for a period of time last year during the pandemic and are still subject to capacity limits and other public health protocols. Encore Boston Harbor in Everett brought in $49.7 million in gambling revenue in March, the most in a single month since February of 2020. Revenue at MGM Springfield was $22.1 million for March, more than any month since May of 2019. At Plain Ridge Park Casino in Plainville, which is a slots-only facility, March revenue was $12.2 million, more than in any month since July of 2019. Now, for the second year in a row, there was no Boston Marathon on Patriots Day yesterday because of the pandemic, but the Boston Athletic Association wants everyone to know registration for the next marathon begins online today at 10 a.m. and will last all week until Friday at 5 p.m. This year's race will be held on Monday, October 20th, if Massachusetts allows road races to return by then. The field will be reduced to just 20,000 runners to allow for social distancing on the course. Runners will have to submit two negative COVID-19 tests before the race, regardless of vaccination status. Other changes will include the elimination of the Athletes Village in Hopkinton, rolling start times for runners, and the option to buy registration insurance. The registration fee for runners will stay at $205. A virtual Boston Marathon will take place the weekend of October 8th through the 10th. Registration for that opened up on March 30th. There are 70,000 spots available for that. Well, gas prices are holding steady in Massachusetts, but analysts say they could start creeping up again later this month. The average price per gallon in the state, $2.74, same as last week, 2 cents lower than a month ago, but 77 cents higher than this time last year. Massachusetts gas prices are 13 cents lower than the national average of $2.86 a gallon. AAA said an increase in the coming weeks is possible. Well, Alma Wahlberg, the mother of entertainers Mark and Donnie Wahlberg and a regular on their reality show, Wahlbergers, has died. Her sons reported on social media Sunday that she was 78. No information was given about the cause of her death. Donnie Wahlberg often posted about his mother on his accounts and in July updated his fans on her health, writing that she didn't remember much and was often confused, but somehow she was still Alma. The Boston-born mother of nine became a household name thanks to her appearances on the A&E series Wahlburgers about the family's burgeoning burger chain. More than a few of her children went on to great success and fame. Her son, Paul, who's the chef behind the namesake burger chain, also named Alma Nove Restaurant in Hingham after her. Alma Wahlberg is survived by eight children. Her daughter, Debbie, died in 2003. Now, the jurors who sat quietly off camera through the 3 weeks of draining testimony in Derek Chauvin's murder trial for George Floyd's death moved into the spotlight today, still out of sight, but now in control of verdicts awaited by a skittish city. The jury of six white people and six people who are black or multiracial was set for its first full day of deliberations. The jury, anonymous by order of the judge and sequestered now until they reach a verdict, spent just a few hours on their task yesterday after the day was mostly consumed by closing arguments. Well, there will be no hands to shake or backs to slap, no way to look a foreign leader in the eye. The small human moments that define statecraft will be reduced to images on a screen. President Joe Biden, a most hands-on politician, this week will host a major climate summit with dozens of world leaders, all of them stuck on Zoom. Biden has made clear that he wants to reassert U.S. leadership on the world stage, including on climate change. After four tumultuous, often inward-looking years of President Trump, but as much as the White House staff has tried to dress up the remote meetings he's held so far, while eyeing the climate summit Thursday and Friday as an important moment, the president has made no secret of how he misses diplomacy with a more personal touch. Chinese President Xi Jinping calling for more equitable management of global affairs and in an implicit rejection of U.S. dominance, said government should not impose rules on others. Xi's speech at an economic forum comes amid rising tension with China's neighbors in Washington over its strategic ambitions and demands for a bigger role in making trade and other rules. Without mentioning the United States, Xi criticized unilateralism of individual countries and warned against decoupling. A reference to fears U.S.-Chinese tension over technology and security will split industries and markets into separate, less productive spheres with incompatible standards. Well, now that the royal family has said farewell to Prince Philip, attention will turn to Queen Elizabeth II's 95th birthday tomorrow, and in the coming months, the celebrations marking her 70 years on the throne. This combination of events is reminding the United Kingdom that the reign of the Queen, the only monarch most of her subjects have ever known, is finite, and it's triggered speculation about how long she'll remain on the throne, what the monarchy will look like in the future, and for some, even whether it should continue to exist at all. The Coast Guard says it is suspending the search for crew members who disappeared when a lift boat capsized off Louisiana last week, and authorities don't expect to find any more survivors. The grim news from Captain Will Watson, commander of the Coast Guard Sector New Orleans, comes after days of searching for the missing workers from the oil industry lift boat Seacor Power, which capsized last Tuesday during a fierce storm in the Gulf of Mexico, about 8 miles south of Port Fourchon. Six of the 19 workers on the boat were rescued within hours of the wreck. Five more bodies were found in the water or on board the vessel. Eight remain missing. Former Vice President Walter Mondale, a liberal icon who lost one of the most lopsided presidential elections after bluntly telling voters to expect a tax increase if he won, died on Monday. He was 93. The death of the former senator, ambassador, and Minnesota attorney general was announced in a statement from his family. No cause was cited. Mondale followed the trail blazed by his political mentor, Hubert Humphrey, from Minnesota politics to the U.S. Senate and the vice presidency serving under Jimmy Carter, 1977 to 1981. In a statement, Carter said he considered Mondale the best vice president in our country's history, adding, "Fritz Mondale provided us all with a model for public service and private behavior." President Biden said of Mondale, "There have been few senators before or since who commanded such universal respect. It was Walter Mondale who defined the vice presidency as a full partnership and helped provide a model for my service." A check of business news this morning. Stocks pulled back. The Dow down 123. The NASDAQ lost 137. The S&P dropped 22. Asian markets mixed. The dollar was higher. The euro gained. Oil at $64 a barrel. In sports, the Bulls beat the Celtics 102-96. Red Sox over the White Sox, 11-4, and they will host the Blue Jays tonight at Fenway Park. And the Bruins host the Sabres at the Garden at 6:30. The National Weather Service forecast for today: sunny, breezy, and mild with highs near 70 degrees. Increasing cloudiness tonight, low of 49. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, maybe a late day shower at a high 65. Rain tomorrow night and into Thursday. It'll be much cooler on Thursday with a high 50 degrees. Friday, breezy and milder, high 58. And nice on Saturday, pleasant 63 degrees. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Southwesterly winds at 10 to 15 knots. And the next high tide, 6:37 this evening. Sunrise at 5:54, sets at 7:31. So again, sunny and mild today, near 70 degrees. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Tuesday, April 20th.